You know, when we look at our healthcare system, and I think a lot of us understand that our healthcare system starts with us, right? And part of that is understanding overall healthy living. You know, get good rest, right? Have a purpose in life, things like that. One of the things that we're learning more and more that's important to that is good mental health, mental wellness, right? We focus on that quite a bit because it's something, I think, over the years that has been overlooked, right? There was a stigma behind it. Kids today probably know more about mental health than we do, and that's a good thing. But we're not done there because some kids do suffer through mental health, mental challenges by themselves. And that, as Chaudière Children's Hospital would say, it shouldn't have to be that way. They shouldn't have to suffer through that alone. And that's what we're talking about here today, mental health awareness. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Montana Chaudière Children's Hospital, right in this battle. Craig Aspett is with us, CEO, and Dr. Tom Hoffman joins us here today as well. All these issues surrounding mental health and mental wellness, that's the focus, mental wellness. We got that today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. You can call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. And now here's your host, Mr. Tom Schultz.
Thank you, Cody. Appreciate that. Yeah, how is your mental health? May, Mental Health Awareness Month. There are things I know that we're more aware of than we have been, but what is underneath the surface that we need to learn as well? And the focus on kids' mental health. Man, I think about the challenges. When we grew up, we were able to just run around and, jump in the river. And as long as we were home, in time for dinner. So mom knew where we were. It's a different world nowadays. And so those challenges we're going to talk about. And I'm so glad to have Craig Aspett back in the studio, CEO of Chaudière Children's Hospital. Craig?
It's a pleasure to be here. And I just have to call out, I appreciate what you guys all do around this topic. So thank you. And how you represent Montana.
Well, you guys are the ones with the gloves off and on the ground with it, too. So thank you for that. Dr. Tom Hoffman, it's a pleasure to meet your acquaintance as well. Chief Medical Officer of Psychiatry at Chaudière Children's Hospital. Grew up in Great Falls, got those Montana chops as well. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
How challenging is... What's different nowadays with mental health? I mean, I started out with our generation, kind of an older generation, lots of stigma in that. I think some of that has broken a little bit, but there's still a long ways to go.
Absolutely. When I grew up, you didn't talk about mental health. It was a secret. It was quiet. And that's changed, which is fantastic. Yeah. People are talking about it. And if you talk to our kids, they are talking about it. They talk with each other, what's going on, who's doing what, which is really nice to see that. The stigma is starting to break down.
Are they talking about it in the right way?
I think a lot of times, yes. Okay. They look to their friends for support, but sometimes you need a little bit of extra support in that too, beyond that. But at least they're talking about it. It's out there. It's not much different than having a cold or having a broken arm.
That to me is surprising, right? I kind of want to peel into that, but I don't know how. That is a change in, well, probably from your standpoint, it changes treatment. It changes, what does it change? The fact that there's more awareness about it.
I think there's willingness to seek help when you need it.
Okay.
Which is different than it used to be. People used to suffer alone, and you don't have to do that anymore.
Craig, that's probably something as a CEO for the hospital that would probably sit in your craw a little bit, that people are out there still, suffering alone through this when you have services that are available to them. What's the secret, if there is a secret, but what's the challenge in getting people more aware to the point that they are seeking help for wellness, as we like to focus on?
Yeah, I think overall, I still think we've come a long way about mental health, but there's still a perception, right? If I go see this, I'm going to be labeled this. Mm-hmm. As time goes on, it's becoming, people are more comfortable to reach out and seek, and that's what we want to do. That's what we want to see. And Chaudière on the other side of that, is providing lots of services, if it's inpatient, outpatient, within the schools. But Chaudière can't do it all by themselves. It's going to take, a state of Montana, when I say other providers, also being just as accessible as Chaudière is, just to make sure that we're taking care of all kids, which is proving to be really, really difficult.
Are Tom, Craig, are we all on the same page across the state when it comes to mental health, especially for kids?
I think in a lot of ways, yes. I think there are a lot of folks in a lot of different agencies, ourselves included, that want to support kids and want to support families. So I think a lot of people are aligned, but we're a really big state, and we have a lot of space in Montana where there aren't a lot of people. Access is challenging. There's no question about it.
I can't help but think about, the pandemic is still on my mind because I don't think we've addressed it in a lot of ways on the education side of things. And I'm not sure we've addressed it on the mental health side of things as well. What, in your perspective as a clinician, as a medical professional, what lingers with the pandemic?
I think kids struggle during the pandemic. You take a time of development, whether it's a young child, a teenager, where your social group is important, especially teenagers. We don't like our parents as teenagers. We like our friends. That's who we want to hang out with. And we shut that down for a long period of time with reason. There was rationale behind it, right? Mm-hmm. But kids change. They change how they socialize. So we spent time in front of screens. They're spending times in front of their phones. We isolated kids that needed to be around others. And I don't think we've recovered from that quite yet.
And Craig, from your aspect as well, administrator, CEO of Chaudière Children's Hospital, you've got to get parents on board. So as much as you're treating kids, you're educating parents, I presume.
Absolutely. I mean, in our program, parents are a big part of it. And I think, Tom, you said, I mean, you and I, we came from a generation where you just didn't talk about it. And now we're getting there. And it's getting parents on the same page that it's okay. It is okay to ask for help because schools can't do it. I mean, schools just don't have the resources to provide some of the work that needs to be done. And I think there's a fear with parents of like, oh, you know, we might be exposed. You know, my son is struggling from this, and how much of that is the family, and do we want to protect that? So the family is critical and very important.
Dr. Hoffman, what are those signs then? Maybe there's some clear, but I think there's also, like you say, as our kids are less forward and kind of more, internal about some of these things. What are some of the signs that we can pick up on?
Well, I think there's a lot of different ways you could go with that. So one is you have to know your kid pretty well. So you're looking for changes in patterns, right? You want to talk to your kids. You want to ask, how are you doing? Because sometimes just the conversation will allow you to do that. But people don't always want to talk about how they're feeling or how they're doing, and that's okay. So if you start seeing changes in patterns, so more isolation, withdrawing from friends, not enjoying things. This is more on the depression side of things. But if you're starting to see that, at least start having the conversation. Start asking, hey, are you doing okay? What's going on? Do you need support? And if they don't open up, you still have worries, reach out to folks. Reach out to primary care providers. Reach out to counselors. Reach out to other people that may know kids. It takes a community. Teachers can notice differences. Neighbors that are close to you can notice differences too. It can take a community. But for me, it's all about looking at patterns, looking at changes. If you're worried, start asking.
Yeah, this is a question for Dr. Hoffman.
Yeah, please.
Is that, do you see more kids today that are starting to look out for their peers? Where they're seeing signs and bringing it forward to the right places?
Absolutely. It's not uncommon. And kids will often reach out to their peers and not to their parents or to other adults. And I think that schools and a lot of organizations have done a really nice job about encouraging kids to speak up. If they're worried, tell somebody. You know, if you have a friend that's talking about wanting to hurt themselves, let somebody know that so we can get them the right support. And that's fantastic.
And unfortunately, that is one of the issues that I've seen that has risen in terms of the ideation of suicide and the number of kids who have actually, I think it's like 20%. I've read different statistics in that regard. And that's not the only, aspect of mental illness too, but talk about that. Talk about why, we see those numbers growing.
You know, it's interesting. I think people are identifying it better. Mm. I think people are talking about it more. So the numbers are growing because in part we're recognizing. But I also think that we have been struggling, especially post-pandemic, with mental health in general, and that kids are struggling more than they had been. We're also in a tough state. Access is an issue. We have lots of access to things that people can hurt themselves. But historically, you look at Montana, we have been for decades top five in the nation for suicide, about three times the rate of the nation for children suicide. So we've been struggling for a long time. But I think we're doing better at identifying it and getting kids the services that they need.
Well, I appreciate that, too. And I see countries that are, I think, in my mind, going the wrong way when it comes to mental illness and suicide ideation as well. I mean, our neighbors to the north are an example of that. What brings on social media, right? I think we have to kind of focus there an awful lot. How do you teach self-discipline? I mean, I guess it's a big topic too, and you have to, the industry needs to be involved. We're learning more and more about it, so there's more data coming available to us. What do we do with all this right now, Doctor?
Well, that's a great question. Social media is a really hard one, right? Yeah. I like social media. I'm on it. Our kids are on it. Lots of people are on it, and it can be a great tool, but it also is something that can provide a quick reward. We all like our likes. It's fun to put something out there and you get 100 likes. It's very satisfying. But I think as adults and parents, we have to understand that social media is a tool. It's a way to interact. It's a way to interface. But it also can be something that can be detrimental. You can see bullying on it. You can see essentially addiction to it. We have to monitor that as the adults. We want to be there with our kids, encouraging them to use it appropriately. Set the limits around screen time. If your kid's interested in something, share it with them. Spend time with them, doing it with them, to try to set those boundaries, to model how to use these tools appropriately. I think that's where it's at.
Do you see that? That's, again, self-control is, it's a great word, but I can't necessarily apply it all the time, right?
Yeah, sometimes yeah. Yes, sometimes no, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And Craig, your aspect of this too as an administrator, because social media is invading our mental wellness, so to speak, and there's industries involved, and so you're looking at where can we get policy help, where and then you still need funding and as this problem grows.
Yeah, I mean, no question that we're always looking with our legislators at the state level, at the federal level, of just coming up with the right policy changes, really to represent and support the needs that are out there for kids. I want to make a comment here, not to avoid your question.
No, don't go.
I think when you take a look at Chaudière and what we provide on an inpatient setting, I don't know if the audience realizes, and Dr. Hoffman can speak to this as well, I think a lot of parents or schools, mental health is adolescence. When in fact, we have kids as young as 4 years old that we're taking care of at Chaudière. And probably when you start talking about access, there's more access for adolescents, but the younger you get, the less access there is. So today, Chaudière is the only facility in Montana providing those services to what we call them, the littles. That 4 to 9 years old. So I think access just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger.
Boy, talk about that, Tom. I can't imagine ministering mental wellness to even an adolescent or a person or anybody for that matter, let alone somebody who's 4, 5, 6, 7.
Absolutely. I think when people think mental health, they start thinking, especially in the world of psychiatry, I'm a psychiatrist, that, well, we need to get the meds. It's all about the drugs. And it's not. It's much more than that. And especially when you're talking to little kids, your 4, 5, 6-year-olds, it's not just medicine. It's also not just about the kid. It's about the system they're in. It's about the families. It's about their siblings. It's about the community, the teachers, if you want to bring those supports in. And the more supports you can wrap around these kids, the better off you are. But a lot of the work focuses on how do you support the families to support the needs of the kids. So that's not just medicine. It can be therapy, family therapy. It can be get the kid into sports, get the family into community connections, just so that it takes a village, right? We want to support kids in the community, and that's honestly sometimes what it's about.
Good. And isn't that the KISS solution, keep it simple, stupid, kind of? that's behavioral. That is, I don't know. That sounds like a family operating, well.
It is, but I think when you're struggling, you don't see the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
It's hard to get out of that picture because if you have a child that's struggling, as an adult, as a parent, I'm a parent, you can feel absolutely hopeless. You can't see past the problem in front of you. And that's where having people to come in, step in to help you, not to criticize you, not to judge you, because I think there's fear of that. To not have that, that can make such an impact on a kid. And the younger you can get a kid stabilized and get that family supported, the better the outcomes later.
It's a multifaceted issue, and there's multiple treatment programs here as well, and a lot of different ways that we're going to kind of focus here on this hour about inpatient care, residential treatment, especially for teens, some of those things provided by Schoedter Children's Hospital. In studio, CEO Craig Aspen, and Dr. Tom Hoffman is the Chief Medical Officer of Psychiatry at Schoedter. Welcome back here to Voices of Montana. I want to peel into this a little bit, Craig, because it moves too fast, and there are these other issues we want to talk about, like real treatment and response. You guys do school-based services. That I think is pretty huge. Case management, outpatient care, and then integrated therapies along with the inpatient and residential. That's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of treatment methods out there. Talk about how vital each one of those are.
Yeah, so I'll just go back in time as well. So this is a 10-year period. You know, Schoedter had inpatient, residential, and our own in-house school. Now you go 10 years later, and we still have all of those, but we're in several schools looking to expand that, where we're bringing our services into the schools. We have outpatient clinics not only in Helena, but Butte and Great Falls. So we're just really trying to expand our footprint to address the issue of access. And I think every one of those programs are vitally important, because you might start on the front end. I've seen one of our therapists and end up on an acute unit or residential unit. Or you might start an acute and transition into outpatient care. So we're trying to provide the services that represent the whole child and their family.
What's the average stay for a child at Schoedter?
Well, I think we can tag team this. So you're not going to want to hear this. It depends. If you come in as an acute, which means I think we're probably adolescent 8 to 10 days. I'm looking at Dr. Hoffman. The littles, it becomes a little longer than that. A residential unit is really different than most, and I would say our average length of stay 60 to 90 days.
Around there.
That's not bad, right? Honestly.
Well, and I think it's also important, what are those, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, acute stay is really danger to self and others. We need that intensive support, safety, security to get somebody feeling like they're doing better and can them return home safely. And our goal, we don't want kids in the hospital. We want them at home. We want to get them the services where they're at. But sometimes you need that extra support, that 24/7 monitoring to maintain safety. Sometimes kids and families need a little bit longer. That's where residential can help. That includes school, because you can't be away from school for 2 months. That doesn't help anybody either. But it's that's a longer term to provide similar sorts of supports. But it allows for continued to work in a safe setting. And outpatient services are what people think if you go to the clinic. One thing that's really nice is, and this was one good thing that came from the pandemic, is it opened the doors to services across the state. So we have physical offices in Helena, in Butte, in Great Falls, but we see people across the state. And that's fantastic. It opens up doors to places that otherwise, we still have counties in Montana without physicians. So to have good, high-quality mental health services is fantastic to be able to provide those services across the state.
How do you keep providing those services? I know that the country is discussing its spending issues and what are our priorities in that regard. So funding is a big part of that too. But you also need to have that kind of vocal support, I think, from the community too, that and maybe somebody who can tell the story that I was lost. I walked into Schoedter. And now I'm found, so to speak.
Yeah. Were you going to take that one?
Go for it.
It's up in the air.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that, I mean, and I can just talk of specific cases where, you know, we had a child that we treated and was discharged and back in their house and hit a tough patch again, and they showed up independently on our front doorstep, you know, looking for that safe place to go. So I think there's a lot of different stories like that. And I think I had the opportunity to sit in on a previous patient that came and talked to existing patients. And just watching that discussion and the openness and the questions that patients were asking this person, it was really the coolest dialogue I ever saw. I mean, you talk about vulnerability by kids, but it was all the things they're dealing with.
And that's impactful because kids are going to hear it from other kids more than they're going to hear it from the adults. That's who they look to for supports. But, you know, it's impressive the changes that you can see for folks. I worked with a person who I met first on our acute unit, was suicidal, struggled, really struggled, came back a few times. That's not a failure. It just speaks to how strong these illnesses can be. Eventually started doing better, started seeing that person in outpatient services. And my favorite part in the course of treatment is when I get to say, I don't think you need me anymore. And it's rewarding. It's sad. There are a lot of mix of emotions. But, you know, for that kid, that means they're doing okay. That family's doing okay. And that's fun to watch. And I'll tell you, with kids, that's where you get to the vast majority of the time.
I'm glad to hear that. And I believe that, too. And that's why these services, are successful in that regard. Craig, peel into that then. How do you keep the services going?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, a big part of what ShowDare is, when you look at our patient population, you know, 65% of our kids are on Montana Medicaid. We all know the issues with funding around that. So we become more and more reliant on philanthropy and mm-hmm. raising money. But it's not only raising money, it's raising awareness. Is that, you know, to really have people give to mental health is really for them to understand and understand ShowDare, because a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't want to, but there's just some people, they see this building and it's like this scary place. Mm-hmm. And I think for the viewers out there, the new building that we built does not look anything close to a psychiatric hospital. It has everything that I've said when we designed it of what kids deserve. They deserve natural light, openness, and all of that that's built into the facility. So anything you want to add to that?
People picture One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. They picture the old state hospital, and that's not what it is. It's open light. We want kids to play. There's outdoor space. We want them to commune together. It's about community. It's about being open, and it's not locked up. You know, people think the straitjacket's the, you know, locked up 24/7. That's absolutely not what it is.
I got a minute and a half, and I'm just going to ask about how good mental wellness helps overall health, Tom, because I think that's one thing we're finding out as we learn new data regarding it. What's your take? I mean, I'm going to sleep better. My neighbors are going to get along with me. I mean, talk about what the positive outcomes are for that.
Yeah, we've got to take care of ourselves, right? And be good to ourselves physically, mentally. And there's a lot of research about just being positive can make a difference in your outcomes. It can lead to improvements in even lifespan, having a positive approach, and that can be hard. So there is data out there to support mental wellness is important. And sometimes that's just connecting with somebody to talk through things, to have your own support. So it's not, you don't have to do it alone. That's the nice part, is you can always have others around you that can help with supporting you when you need it, when you're down.
Mental Health Awareness Month, and the more we are aware of it, I think the more mental wellness we are going to have. We focus on it here today. ShowDare Children's Hospital is in studio. Craig Asfed, their CEO, grew up in Lewistown. And then the guy next to him grew up in Great Falls, Dr. Tom Hoffman, Chief Medical Officer of Psychiatry at ShowDare. And thank you guys for being here. We'll talk about, of course, May with Mental Health Awareness Month. There's a campaign out there where people are being asked to support. I think that's really cool. I want to get on that. You've got like Harrington Bottling Company, which is going to do some matching grants for you. So, as you had said, Craig, I don't know if our priority is really set yet where it needs to be for mental health in the medical field. There's a lot of money that's poured into all these great discoveries, so to speak, and lots of deep research. Do you think mental health is at the top, so to speak, of that priority in the medical industry?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah, I just think we're at least talking about it, but I think as from prioritization, we are still focused on, other major body organs, heart health and all the other things. But I think there's a long way to go to get mental health at the top of the list. A
lot of trauma, Tom, for kids wind up being, you know, heart disease or ulcers or things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think mental health, people forget it's brain health. There's another important part of our body that we need to pay attention to. And we know trauma over time. People think of trauma. They think of the car wrecks. They think of war. They think of those big capital T traumas. But we also know that the small traumas over time add up and impact us. You know, having family members incarcerated, violence in the home, substance use in the home. So many different things can add up over time. And that has impacts on our physical health, poor outcomes for physical health, poor outcomes for work, for employment. It can lead to educational problems, relationship problems, long-standing over time. And that's why we need to pay attention to this, is our brains are important. It impacts all the rest of us.
How do we differentiate what is a growing issue, mental health challenge, versus I'm just going to use it, I'm having a bad day? How do we tell the difference?
That can be really hard to do. Because we all have bad days. We all have days we're just down, we're sad, we're anxious, we're worried. I think one way to think about it is if those bad days become bad weeks, bad months, something else is going on. I think another way to think of it is if those bad days are keeping me from being who I want to be the best version of myself, we need to pay attention to that. So if all of a sudden, you know, I'm out there fly fishing, having a great time, and I just can't enjoy it anymore, that may be a signal that this is more than a bad day. Even beyond that, and these are harder things to talk about, if I'm thinking I want to hurt myself, if I'm thinking I want to kill myself, that's not a bad day. That's even more than that. So those are the things we need to pay attention to. It comes back to looking at patterns. If things are changing in what you do and you're worried about it, that's when you need to start asking, is something else going on?
Craig, do you have to have your staff focus on that differentiation as the CEO for Chaudière Children's Hospital? Like, you know, every kid that comes through your door is going to want to treat, but not every kid needs, you know, four levels of treatment either.
Right. No, I think we're just really focused on the individual child and meeting their individual needs. And they're probably not all that are the same. It's all different. And that's why, you know, I just have to do a major plug for the staff at Chaudière are absolutely phenomenal individuals. I mean, to do this work day in and day out, I'm sitting next to one here that does the same thing, but it's hard, exhausting work, and the work that they do and the things that they see and experience, it takes a special person. I'm forever grateful for the staff that we have and the work that they do.
I am too, and Tom Hoffman is shaking his head as well, yes.
No, absolutely. You are in this field because you want to be. It's really about helping others and for us, taking care of kids and families.
How do you manage the mental stress that comes with this?
You have to find your outlets. You have to find what charges you up. For me, it's Legos. I've just always liked them, but it's a good outlet.
I knew it. I could tell.
But you have to find what makes you happy. You know, it can be family. It can be friends. It can be activities, going for a walk. And we actually emphasize that with our staff. Everybody, when they come in, creates their own safety plan, if you will. If I'm having a bad day, what can I do just to remind me that this is something that can ground me? And that's useful for anybody.
Craig, I'm going to ask you to do a little role playing here because we don't have a parent alongside. And it would be hard. I mean, especially as a parent, right? Cody's a parent, and we're talking to, during the break about, oh, I got all these questions, and am I a good parent? And then little things can send you off on the wrong track. I was going to have you put on their shoes because ultimately, when that child walks out the door, that parent's looking back at you with probably a lot of gratitude. What is their experience? I mean, what do they go through?
The parent?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of shame that goes with the parent and looking at, you know, how much of it is me and the failure as a parent. And not so what I would say to viewers is not to stay focused on there, because I don't think it's abnormal. You know, we all have, as parents, we struggle with our own issues. And most important is seeking the right kind of help, you know, making the phone calls if it's to Chaudière Children's Hospital, if it's to a local therapist, if it's to your family physician, but just being open that this is what I'm seeing. So what Tom said earlier, a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, it's just I think for the parents out there, just to be in tune of what's going on with your kids. And it doesn't mean you're a failure. It just means it's life.
And I can see that you probably looked into somebody's eyes and could see past that, right?
Yep.
See into that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Tom, your experience there too.
Yeah, I agree with what Craig said. I think there is a lot of guilt and worry. Am I good enough parent? Am I doing what I need for my kid? And you don't have to be perfect to be a parent. None of us can be perfect as a parent. It's okay to make mistakes, but it's learning from those and moving on and supporting. It also teaches our kids that it's okay to make mistakes and that you can recover from that. But it's hard. Nobody wants to see their kids struggle, right? Nobody wants to see anybody in their family struggle. But I challenged families, find a family that hasn't dealt with some of these issues at some point. I don't think they're out there.
Craig, the Chaudière Children's Hospital, it's unique in my mind. What makes it unique in your mind?
Well, what makes it unique is that, first of all, we're getting ready to celebrate our 130th anniversary. So we've been around a long time, and we've always been, Chaudière has always been about kids in Montana. So that is the early part of it. And I don't think we are very committed to the services we provide, not only behavioral health, mental health. We have this genetics program. And when you take those two services, there's not another place that's really unique in providing those kind of services in Montana. And I would say even regionally. So what Chaudière has become is it's interesting because mental health is a big issue. Genetics. Everybody's interested about genetics. And those are our two major service lines that we're providing services for Montana, for Montana. So that's the uniqueness of Chaudière. And I will say there's other great organizations in the state too, right? And I would never sit here and have anybody believe Chaudière's the answer. I mean, you've got YBGR, you've got Intermountain, you've got AWARE. There's other great organizations. And I think the bigger issue is how do we all work together to really take care of kids' mental health in this case.
Craig Asfed again, CEO of Chaudière Children's Hospital. And Dr. Tom Hoffman is with us, Chief Medical Officer of Psychiatry. I want to kind of pull this back into schools because it seems like, of course, a central setting, especially for our rural and frontier nature. So there's a lot that kind of can be seen at school, so to speak. Are we putting too much or can they do more? I think there are a lot of people who would say education, you know, is reading, writing, and arithmetic. But part of that is getting people prepared for education as well. From your aspect, as a clinician again, do we expect the schools to do too much of this job for us?
That's complicated. I think the schools are asked to do a lot, but they know our kids really well. They're with our kids 6-8 hours a day, so they're going to start seeing some of those things that we may not be able to see because we're with our kids all the time too, right? So that's... We do ask a lot of our teachers, but they don't always have the resources to take care of the issues that come across. Having services in schools can be a huge bridge for that. To have the therapist, to have the folks meeting the kids where they're at can be incredibly powerful. And that can also help the schools because we want the kids to get their education. Where I think schools have a great role is they're helping see what are those early warning signs. Where are we seeing those changes that we need to pay attention to? But then I think it's on the schools to help us as parents, as families, know that there are other options. We can get them connected with services.
I want to come back after a break here and talk about the funding these services too, because that's important. And I know you guys are doing a campaign. I'll mention that as well. If you guys, Harrington Bottling Company is going to match your donation up to $15,000 this month. All right, all you got to do is text MT Kids 34984. Text MT Kids to, and it's all one word, to 34984, and you get rolling on that. We'll have more as we come on back. It's Dr. Tom Hoffman and Craig Asfed here today in studio. Appreciate you guys being in this field. I appreciate you coming in and sharing some things. I thought there was some good insight, for our audience here. And people want to do more because, I think there is this need, and as Craig had said, maybe the medical community is overlooking it. The Children's Miracle Network, there's a lot of organizations out there, Craig, that are helping. But talk about the financial struggle here. It seems like there's probably times when you feel like, wow, we can't help any more kids with where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting comment for viewers, especially, is that I said earlier that, you know, 65% of our kids are on Montana Medicaid. You know, our reimbursement from them, Shodare's, is like 40 cents on the dollar. So as a business person, if you're out selling a service, but you're only going to get paid 40 cents of every dollar, you got to come up and do something else. So there's a couple of things that Shodare is part of the Children's Miracle Network, which is represents all of the freestanding or children's hospitals in the United States. What's unique about Shodare, again, when you talk about that word, we are the only freestanding children's psych hospital part of that network. And as mental health rises and rises up and grabbing the attention, everybody, Shodare has found this itself as being a major decision maker in the Children's Miracle Network. So that's one piece. Rusty Cash, our development officer, is always out meeting with potential donors, applying for grants, looking for all of that additional funding that really subsidizes what we don't get paid from our payer sources.
So MT Kids 34984, if you guys are willing to help here. Dr. Tom Hoffman again, and you kind of, we said this a little bit, and Craig, I think you referenced it. You know, we had this stigma about alcoholism, and we had this stigma about drug abuse, and it was all behavioral, but then we learned more about that, and that has turned. The stigma maybe is turning when it comes to mental health, Tom, and put a bow on this for us. I mean, what steps as concerned parents can we take and know to help our kids and ourselves?
Well, two parts of that. The stigma absolutely is changing. There's no question about it. And it's coming from the kids. It's not coming from us. They are taking this on and running with it, which is wonderful to see. How do we get the services is the challenge, right? And you know, it's reaching out to your primary care providers, reaching out to school counselors, have the resources. It can be friends that have had experiences, and then reaching out. And you may have to call one. You may have to call five. People are busy. There are not enough people providing services in this state. It definitely, the need is more than what we have. So you have to keep calling and be persistent about it, because you will get somebody that answers the call.
That's good. And on the other side of that, like you said, Craig, when kids leave that hospital, they're in a better place.
Yeah. You know, again, Dr. Hoffman referenced this earlier. You know, it's interesting in my interactions with kids. I heard the story of, you know, this. I was at Shodare two times. The first time I was forced. Second time I wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. That starts to change the treatment model, their recovery model, and becoming, you know, good citizens. I think all of those things that become really important.
Well, it's important. 130 years, I keep forgetting that, you know. And you guys just had an expansion project as well. That's of course, maybe that's a couple of years ago now, too. So congratulations on that.
Yeah. It's really hard to believe. It's been 3 years ago, you know. And I think... people, so just quick, like, it's like, okay, you're not getting paid this. How do you build these, you know, new buildings? And I would just first say the building that we were in was outdated. Mm-hmm. It was an old bowling alley, okay? Kids deserve better, and that's why we did what we did, and philanthropy became huge.
I'm glad you guys are where you're at. Yeah. Thank you for your service to humanity, right? To families, to Montana. Appreciate that. Craig Aspect and Dr. Tom Hoffman.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.